All right, church, for the reading of God's word today, we're going to be in Acts 16, verses 6 through 10. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Church, this is the word of God.
Thank you, Nico, for that reading. As always, you can keep your place in Acts 16. We're going to continue our series in the book of Acts. This morning, we will discuss what it means and what it looks like to discern God's will for our lives. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God, this is a sacred day, a sacred moment. Lord Christ, we ask that you would be sufficient for us as we hear, as we preach. We want more than anything to hear from you. And more than anything, we want to know the gospel once again. And so help us as we discern, working out our salvation with fear and trembling, as we discern what it means to live coram Deo before your face. God, help us in this short time, this brief time of looking at your word, what it means to know you and to follow you and to discern your will for our lives. In Christ's name, amen. Well, congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, discerning God's will for one's life is one of the great topics that concerns Christians. And if we're honest, I think at times it plagues us. Would you agree? What job should I take? Where should I live? Should I go to college? If so, where should I go to college? What should my major be if I go to college? Should I get married? Whom should I marry? Should I stay at my current job? Should I be a missionary? Should I play sports or sing in a choir or both? When should I retire? What should I do in retirement? So many questions facing us on a weekly basis, perhaps for you even daily. It's no surprise so many of us are desperate to know the will of God for our lives. After all, we think to ourselves, what if we take the wrong job? Buy the wrong house? Marry the wrong person? Retire too early, run out of money, then we're doomed, aren't we? Well, so we think. Here is how one author describes the usual yet misguided, emphasis on misguided, way of discerning God's will. Quote, "Conventional understanding of God's will defines it as a specific pathway we should follow into the future. God knows what this pathway is, and he has laid it out for us to follow. Our responsibility is to discover this pathway, God's plan for our lives. If and when we make the right choice, we will receive his favor, fulfill our destiny, and succeed in life. If we choose rightly, we'll experience his blessing and achieve success and happiness. If we choose wrongly, however, we'll lose our way, miss God's will for our lives, and remain lost forever in an incomprehensible maze." I think that's spot on. That's how most of us at times view God's will. We tend to view God's will as a bullseye to hit or a needle to thread. And if we don't hit that bullseye or thread that needle, it's like we have spiritual paralysis. We're not really sure what to do. Did we miss the mark? And I think, though well-intentioned, I'm not saying it comes from bad intentions, though well-intentioned, I think that's exceedingly harmful to one's growth in God. A better way is the biblical way. Here it is. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God, and then trust that God will care for you and your needs even before you know what those needs are and where you are going. There's your answer. We can leave. No, not quite. But that is the answer. Seek first the kingdom of God and then trust God to care for your life. I just want to take that theme and, for our brief time together, look at that theme in verses 6 to 10 in this great section of Scripture. Would you look at verse 6 with me? And they went through, so Paul and Silas and Timothy are on their second missionary campaign. They're just starting it. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Verse 7. And so when they had come to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of Jesus, did not allow them. So, passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. Twice we are told that God the Spirit restrained Paul, Silas, and Timothy from where they wanted to go and where they often planned to go. If you have a map in the back of your Bible, they want to go south into Asia, which is Turkey, Ephesus, Smyrna area. And in verse 6, the Holy Spirit says, not today. And so they want to go north into Bithynia, towards the Black Sea. And the Holy Spirit says, again, not today. He restrains them twice. And so it's pretty clear at this point that God's purpose is to funnel this three band of missionaries west into Europe. That's what's going on here. I have two questions. Maybe you have 16. But I have two that I want to ask you for the bulk of our time together. First, I want to know, how did the Holy Spirit restrain these men from where they wanted and planned to go? Because if I get that answer, maybe I can reason that he'll show me the same thing and I can find God's will. Second question is, hold on, my pages are out of order. There we go. Second question. If it's true that God restrains things, how can I discern God's will for my life? I would like to know where to go and what to do with my life. How can I know I'm where God wants me to be? Oh, two questions. They'll function for the rest of our time, our brief time together. You know I don't preach long sermons, so when I say brief, it'll be relatively brief. So first question, how did the Holy Spirit restrain these men from where they wanted and planned to go? Answer, we're not told. Thanks, Luke. Was it sickness? Did God remove a sense of peace? Maybe. Maybe not. Was it dramatic and therefore obvious? Was it natural and therefore obscure? We don't know. We're simply told that what God did was restrain them. And by the way, restrain them from something good, right? Like speaking the word in Asia. Maybe a follow-up question. What does this have to do with you and me? Is this a lesson tucked away in the book of Acts and never applicable to us? Well, I don't think so. I think the lesson right here that we should learn right away, beloved, is God's will includes inscrutable, providential hindrances. And I say that with all my pastoral heart. God's will includes inscrutable, unexplainable, providential hindrances. Unable to conceive children. A good thing. But he's restrained it for now. Unable to overcome a disability of some kind, physical or otherwise. You can put your hindrance in the blank, I am sure you can. But the longer I live the Christian life, is it not true, beloved? The longer you live the Christian life, the longer I pastor, you and I need to have a category of this in our theology and in our life. You need to have a category that God will at times, with his inscrutable providence and all his love and all of his kindness, hinder your plans. Remember the story of Joseph, Jacob, Samuel, Abraham, David, Paul. He hindered every single one of their desires. A lesson to learn here, at least at minimum, is that we need to trust Christ over the illusion of taking control. And that's so true. We need to trust Christ over the illusion of taking control. As these men walked and journeyed, as they went to desiring to preach the gospel, they said what the hymn says that we sing today, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. God will block, he will hinder, he will obstruct various things about our life. And he's saying to you today, child, just trust what I'm doing in your heart and with your life. Such an illusion to take control, isn't it? Life is so much better in my hands, in Ryan's hands, but it's not. That's really not. This text today calls you, beloved, to trust. So what's first up in order of finding God's will is to trust. It's to seek first his kingdom. It's to say, my life is not my life. Now, whatever I do, and whatever you do in my life, better yet, you have it there for my good. I don't know what it is for you. Maybe it's big, maybe it's small. Let's trust him together, shall we? So he doesn't give us all the details of life. He doesn't tell us how he restrained these men. He doesn't tell us our details of life. So we come to the second question. How can I discern God's will from my life? I would like to know what God wants me to do.
where to go? How can I know I'm where God wants me to be? Well, I'm actually not going to answer that question until the very end. Let me give you a massive disclaimer before I do, okay? Here's your disclaimer. Knowing God's will for your life in full detail is problematic. Several reasons. I know it's what we want, but it's problematic. First, the New Testament, as far as I can see, never suggests that the apostles believed they ought to know God's perfect will for their lives. There are no incidents recorded, no conversations, and no prayers that can be reasonably interpreted as an attempt to gain insight into God's plan for someone's life in full detail. There are many things the apostles pray to know, but knowing God's plan for their lives is not one of them. Second, nowhere, as far as I can see, do Christ or any of his apostles teach that individual Christians or the church collectively should attempt, by whatever means, to know God's plan for them as individuals or for the church. Third, the attempt to know in detail, key phrase, God's perfect plan reverses the whole tenor and spirit of the Christian life. Isn't it true, beloved, that the fundamental idea of Christian faith is that it is not sight? That's the point. Take, for example, Abraham. You don't believe me. Take, for example, Abraham. Did God have a perfect plan for Abraham's life? Yes, he did. Did Abraham know what God's perfect plan was for his life? No, he did not. Was Abraham in total darkness as to what that plan was? No, he was not. He had the Lord's promise that he would be the father of many nations, and by God's grace, Abraham had faith in that promise. Yet nevertheless, beloved, Abraham left home. He left Haran, quote Hebrews 11:8, not knowing where he was going. Sounds like us. That sounds like you. That sounds like me. I don't know what I'm doing with my life, other than trusting Christ. And God says, perfect. Lastly, Scripture's general teaching is that we do not know what a day will bring. Proverbs 27:1. We need to acknowledge that the plans we make are subject to God's will. Let me say that again, for my own sake, please. We need to acknowledge that the plans we make are subject to God's will. See our text today in James 4:13-17. So, beloved, there may come times when you modify, change, or adapt our plans. Hallelujah. No matter how good our plans are, they will not prevail if they are not a part of God's plan for our lives. I need you to understand something. If you tuned me out, just come back, please. Your life, my life, is a mixture. It's a mixture of certainty about the big picture, right? You got certainty about the big picture. Seek Christ, seek his kingdom, trust him for all things, yield your life to his. And that is together mixed with uncertainty about the many details of life. Job, home,
garden or no garden? What does the hymn say? Deep in unfathomable minds of never-failing skill, he, God, treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. So there's your disclaimer. You probably forgot we were in the disclaimer still. Back to the question at hand. Okay, Ryan. Trust Christ instead of taking control. Okay, I got it. Knowing God's will in full detail is problematic. Okay, I got it. Still, there's something in me, at least in me, that I want to know how I can discern God's will for my life. Here's your answer, finally. Discerning God's will for your life is the fallible process of thinking and deciding about our own personal circumstances in the light, developing our Christian character. That's a mouthful, isn't it? Let me break it down. There's two parts. You want to develop Christian character, and in light of that Christian character that you're developing in the Word, through prayer, through the fellowship, the means of grace, as you're developing that character, you are thinking and deciding with counsel about God's will for your life, okay? Let's see that in our text. I don't just make it up. So first, the first part of knowing God's will, Christian character. The phrase, the will of God, did you know this, has more to do with your character than it does with your decisions. Okay? It's the first thing you need to know. The phrase, the will of God, has more to do with your character than it does with your decisions. Will you turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? 1 Thessalonians, boys and girls, that's in the New Testament still. It's one of Paul's letters. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. Paul says in verse 2, you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God. Okay, Paul, I'm listening. This is the will of God. What does he say? Your sanctification. He doesn't talk about do this path or follow this path or follow this path. What is the will of God for your life? Your holiness, your growth in godliness, your love for Christ, your trust of Christ, your repose and rest in him. It is your sanctification. All of it. All of it. That's God's will for your life. Some other texts we could go to, but I'm running out of time. The second part of finding or discerning the will of God, along with Christian character, is Christian thinking. Christian thinking, okay? We have to think as Christians well. Verse 9. Look at verse 9 back in Acts 16. Okay? Go back to Acts 16. They were tempted. They attempted to go two places. The Spirit hindered them. Verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, so over in Europe, urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia. By the way, notice the we here, immediately we. So this is the first time in Acts when Luke joins the band of brothers. Okay? Luke is now with this missionary team. All right? Some scholars think actually the reason they did not go into those places, this total tangent, was because one of these brothers got sick, and so they called on Luke, the physician, to come and help them. And so they didn't go in those places because of sickness. I don't know. When Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Okay, look at that word in verse 10, concluding. That word is very important as we think about the will of God in conjunction with our Christian character. I'm not going to give the Greek. It's not important. English is sufficient. Concluding suggests deliberation and analysis, coalescing and knitting together. So in other words, even after Paul's vision from God, the four men deliberate, reflect, think, reason together, and conclude that this commissioning was from God. And so they go to Europe to spread the gospel. I take all of that together. My answer to the question of the day is discerning God's will comes down to cultivating Christian character, sanctification, and it comes down to receiving Christian counsel. All right. Proverbs 26:4, 20:18, 11:14. So you got a big decision to make in your life, what job to take, where to move, what church to go to? Okay. Prize your character. Okay. And out of that character, wrought by God's Spirit through His Word and prayer, you then pursue counsel, as these men did here. They concluded, and you say, this might be what I want to do and where I want to go, but God, this is what I'm going to do, but God, I leave it up to you for the plans. You can change anything you want to. My life is in your hands. One last note before I conclude. Notice here the importance of vocation. Vocation is calling. Notice how their calling, their vocation, aided them in their decision making. Did you see it? Verse 10, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Their vocation was missionaries. And that helped them in some way about what to do. We ought to keep preaching. This is my vocation. So when it comes to making practical decisions about God's will for your life, in other words, you should consider your vocation. Are you a father? A mother? Sister, brother, son, daughter? Consider that as you consider God's will for your life. Are you a mechanic? A nurse? A doctor? A lawyer? A teacher? A truck driver? Fulfilling your vocation, it seems so simple. Fulfilling your vocation, your calling, is the vehicle for expressing God's grace in your life and thus fulfilling God's will in your life. Your mom with two young kids, you know what God's will is for your life? Changing diapers. That's what your will is.
That's what God's will is for your life. So simple, isn't it? You're a dad who works at, who's an engineer. God's will is for your life. To love your wife. To grow your kids in the Word. To die to self. To prize your sanctification. And make the small decisions that seem to funnel into the big decisions. To glorify God. It's really not all that complicated. Here's my final comment as I conclude with respect to God's will. Maybe you are satisfied today, maybe not. Too many Christians find themselves saved from the terrors of hell, of trying to earn God's forgiveness, only to put themselves right back on the treadmill of doing God's perfect will to the very best of their ability. Well, allow me to save you a lot of time and energy, beloved. The only thing that impresses God is the blood of His Son. That's it. Are you aware that the decisions, the good decisions you make that fit within God's will, are you aware that those decisions still need the blood of Christ? Did we ever think, even when we make the right move, the right call on something, that we're without need of Jesus? We always need the Lord Jesus and His blood. So hang your life on the gospel. Hang your life on Christ. Not because you made this move or did that and decided to do this. Hang your life on Jesus and Him crucified, and God will be glorified. He loves nothing more than His Son. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we praise You for taking us off the rat wheel of righteousness and bringing us to the cross of Calvary, where You are infinitely satisfied, and therefore infinitely satisfied with us because we are in Him. Keep us, Lord, from the illusion that You are more pleased with us when we make the right call. Keep us from the illusion that we're living the perfect life. That's why we have Jesus. And let us make decisions that pursue our sanctification, the well-being of Your church, with godly men and women around us to help us. And when we come to that final day, oh, we'll see the blunders perhaps. Oh, we'll see the blunders. But God be the glory. We'll see no sin. No sin. Amen.